Far, I've seen two or three Salvation Army kettles and the person with the bell. I always try to give something to those because way back in 1959, I think, my mom and dad would come from Kentucky and we were in a project in Oakland and they were doing everything they could to get money together for Christmas and just to get along. We lived in the High Street Projects right across from the Alameda Bridge there at High Street, and mom went out and it was cold and she barely had a decent coat to wear, and she'd ring the bell, and I've always thought, you know what, somebody's making an effort there, and it's Salvation Army is one of the best charities that you can give to. They are an amazing help always. And I won't say anything about any of the others because I don't know, but Salvation Army is good. So I want to speak to you this morning about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. We are on our path to Christmas. Someone might say, well, wait a minute, it's still November. That's all right. You can't hurt by sharing the greatest story ever told. And a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, what about the cross and the resurrection? Hey, if Jesus wasn't born, there would be no cross and resurrection. Okay, so let's give at least equal time to the wonderful birth of our Savior. And I want to really speak about Mary and Joseph. In the Pentecostal Church of God, we have a doctrinal statement. And it says, the Son is eternally begotten of the Father, accepted earthly limitations for the purpose of incarnation. That's being true God and true man. Conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. That's a big part of our doctrine. Born of the Virgin Mary. Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. And if we don't believe that, then we really aren't able to lay claim to the salvation he bought for us. He died upon the cross, the just for the unjust, a substitutionary sacrifice, and all who believe in him are justified on the grounds of his shed blood. He arose from the dead according to the scripture. He is now at the right hand of the majesty on high as our great high priest, and he will return again to establish his kingdom, righteousness and justice. Boy, I like justice. I like justice. In the world, you see a lot of injustice, but I like justice. Oh, and by the way, that came out of the Inner Circle Bible. This is the holy, probably one of the most holy Bibles, and it is what the Pentecost Church of God sent me 38, 39 years ago. And next year, the Pentecostal Church of God is celebrating 100 years. They were established in 1919. Matter of fact, I think it was in the month of December, and I can't remember the date, but 1919 in Chicago, Illinois. Isn't it amazing that something started in Chicago has now ended up in Texas with our headquarters? If you look with me to the book of Luke, I'm going to mention the birth of Christ very briefly because I mainly want to emphasize today those that the Lord chose to watch over Jesus as he started life as a baby. I believe that God could have sent his son maybe in different ways, but I don't think there could be something that, I don't know, is more convincing than to send his son as a human being and as a baby growing up and choosing to be righteous. How many of us chose to be righteous and it didn't work out? I've been in a lot of trouble and done a lot of things that I was told not to do. Jesus was perfect in all of his life. So I'm going to look in Luke 2, 15 through 16. And it was, or so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You know, there's a great lot of faith, a great lot of faith in that. We've been told, let's go see. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And I understand, I've thought, well, Mary and Joseph and the babe all in the manger seems a little cramped, but it's not that. They saw Mary and Joseph, and then they saw the babe lying in the manger. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this word. Jesus, we're so thankful that you came for us. You came to die so that we live and we live eternally. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for being with us every day, and thank you for being at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. We love and honor you. Amen. I heard Jimmy Swaggart talking this morning briefly. I came in when he was talking about a seeker-friendly church. How many understands what that is, seeker-friendly? And he said that this gentleman that has 30,000 people in his church, and that could be one of several, but I think I know who he was speaking of, but he said they did a survey to see what people wanted to hear and what they didn't want to hear in church. And one of the things that they didn't want to hear was they didn't want to hear any preaching against sin, and they didn't want to hear anything about guilt or shame. And so they went into this building, this church, and although it's a great number, they did it by, I guess, dismissing a good part of the Word of God. And I've always thought that that's the wrong way to build a church. I pray every day to the Lord, help us to build this church. Help us to build this church. But build it on the Word. Build it on worship and holiness and all glory to Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the way I would like all of us to pray. The scripture says in Acts that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People can build a church. I read a book years ago by Leslie Coren on how to build a church and a Sunday school and church. And he based it on Hope Tabernacle, which is across town on the other side of Monterey Highway, Hope Tabernacle. And he was sharing his experiences and different organizational things, but I'm still convinced that it's the Lord that builds a church. And if the Lord builds you and I, then we will be the part of that construction, and we will be built up into a heavenly tabernacle for the Lord. So the angels had come to the shepherds. Why not to the temple? Why not to the priests? Why not to the government leaders? Herod, he was the king of the Jews. Why not to one of these people? Why not to someone wealthy and famous? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus went to the shepherds because they would have an interest in going and seeing and verifying what God told them. And I don't believe that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus spent another night in the stable. I believe the shepherds knew how to be hospitable, and they took care of this first family. I'm not talking about the Trumps or the Obamas or Bushes or anybody else. I'm talking about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the glorious heavenly first family that God looked in all of history and said, I'm going to do it then, and I'm back then, and I'm going to use Mary and Joseph as both the mother and the stepfather of my son. If you'll turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and don't lose Luke because we're going to come back in just a minute. Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. How many's ever asked for a sign? Yes, amen. I've heard people preach one side of that and then the other side. Some say if you're looking for a sign, you don't have faith. Others say if you're looking for a sign, you just want to make sure. I kind of lean towards the people that want to make sure. I don't think there's anything wrong with looking for a sign. That's my feeling. And I think there's scripture that support that. And most of the people that don't want you to look for a sign, they want you to buy their books for $25 or something like that. But it's all right in my mind to look for a sign. And God said, I'm going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. This was spoken in about 742 BC, about 750 years or so before Mary would actually conceive, and then after the right amount of time, bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, or call his name Jesus. 750 years. So why do we have this scripture? Because number one, God wanted to let everybody know that all of the law and all of history led toward the birth of his son. And then the life of his son, the death of his son, the resurrection of his son, the redemption that his son would buy for all of mankind. That's number one. Number two, the king of Israel, that was different than the king of Judah. The king of Judah was Ahaz. The king of Israel and the king of Syria wanted to kill Ahaz. And you know what that would have done? That would have broken up the lineage of Jesus Christ. And God said, it's not going to happen. And then he spoke through Isaiah and said, you have little children. Before your children are of an age to where they can make choices for themselves, the king of Israel and the king of Syria will be dead. And I will preserve the lineage of the house of David, just like I promised David, and just like I promised the world, that my son would be born through the lineage of David. Now let's go back to Luke 1. We'll go to Luke 1, then Matthew 1, and end up back at Luke 2. In Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, now the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, now 6 months, what? The 6 month of Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist. Now, God spoke to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a baby. And, it was kind of like Debbie mentioned of Sarah. Elizabeth and Zechariah were a little bit stunned. And then you're going to call his name John. Zechariah said two or three things, and God said, okay, you're going to be mute until the son comes. When they brought John out to give him a name, Zechariah wrote down, his name shall be called John. And it was, and then Zechariah can speak again. If that worked for me, I'd name everybody John. Now in the 6 month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Nazareth was, I think, about 30 miles east of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a place that where Mary would receive the message, and then she would flee for a bit, and then as she came back, then they would go to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus. And city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. In the last few years, I have become a big fan of Joseph. I see Joseph as just a little bit under Superman. I really do. I think Joseph was an amazing an awesome individual. And I think God saw some character and strength in Joseph that he said, oh my goodness, he's the man that'll raise my son. And to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. There's an important thing to what the angel said about you're blessed among women, not above women. And I know there are churches that worship Mary, and we don't. We love and appreciate her for being the mother of our Savior. But we don't worship her because it's not biblical. And because Jesus, every time that we saw this in a lesson a few weeks ago in the book of Luke, and they said, oh, blessed is the one that gave you birth and nursed you as a baby. And Jesus said, blessed is everybody that believes in me. Because he knew the right application and not to encourage that worship, because that worship of the mother figure goes all the way back to Babylon, and it's tied to paganism. And so we honor Mary. Thank God for someone that was virtuous enough and a strong character. We believe that Mary was probably somewhere around 16, 17 years old. You could hear different things. Some people, oh no, she was definitely 18. Well, I don't know how we're going to find out until we meet Mary in heaven and say, how old were you when Jesus was born? And I'm sure she'll tell us gladly. But so we have the virgin whose name is Mary, and she's betrothed to a man named Joseph. And they're both of the house of David. Mary was through David's son Nathan, and Joseph was through David's son Solomon. The commentary says if the kingship had lasted because of sin, the reign of David's line had been destroyed. But the scripture points to that Joseph would have been the king because of his place in the lineage. But Joseph was a carpenter, which is the highest calling of work anybody can have. Why do you say that? Because I was a carpenter. And that's all part of it. Why did God call a carpenter? I believe because Joseph was a strong man. I believe that he could well defend his family. And I believe that if anything came up, he would. Now, I'm gonna share something with you in just a minute, but I want to follow this line of verse 28. When the angel came in, he said, rejoice, highly favored one. Rejoice, the Lord is with you. The highly favored one is that there's grace upon your life. Highly favored one. That grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is favor to the unworthy. Mary knew where she was in the plan of God. She was humble. She was patient. Patience is the favor to the obstinate. Boy, do I need that. Because every now and again, Debbie, isn't it true? I get obstinate. Mercy is a favor to the miserable. I'm not going to say anything about that. And pity is the favor to the poor. But Mary was shown grace, unmerited favor. And she was to rejoice because she was blessed among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. This kind of shook Mary up a little bit. She said, what's going on? What's happening? Every time an angel visits a human, they get startled, even with the great message of good tidings of great joy. They were afraid, sorely afraid, actually. So there was a lot of fear because what in the world's going on? What's happening? Now, don't you think you'd be the same? If an angel came to you, you'd say, what's going on? I can't believe this. And then the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Well, it's one thing to see an angel. It's another thing to think, to hear, you're going to become pregnant with Jesus, with the Son of God. I think she probably blinked a few times. What's going on? What's happening? He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Can you imagine being given that promise, being given that announcement, being given that word? This is what's going to happen to you. Oh my goodness, it's monumental. You know, Mary had to be very mature for her age, and she had to be very grounded. I believe that she loved God, and I believe she was a worshiper. I believe that she surrendered to God in worship in whatever form that was in that point, at that point. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I know no man? In other words, I've never had relations with any man. I'm not married yet. I'm engaged, but that's all. I don't know. I don't understand. How can this be? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. I believe with all of my heart that just as God said, let there be light, that he spoke, Mary, you'll become pregnant. And it was a spiritual thing, nothing physical about it, altogether holy. It was an absolute spiritual time. I believe Mary was a worshiper because I believe she could relate to something of an experience like that. It had never been done before, and it's never been done since. But for this special occasion, God chose someone that could kind of be good with that, because it wouldn't be too long before she would see the results of her being pregnant. Verse 36 says, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and now is at the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, we read this a few weeks ago, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, now listen to this. I'll tell you what, folks, we can learn from this young lady. She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. In other words, as astounding and as overwhelming as this is, let it be according to your word. In other words, God must receive the glory. I'm with what the will of God is. And as soon as the angel knew that she was good with it, he's gone. The angel departed from her. This does create a little social problem, because although she was engaged, she was not married. Let's turn to Matthew 1 and carry on from there. And this is God speaking to Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. I don't know, haven't found anything that says how long they'd been betrothed. I did find commentary that said that Mary was a young lady, very bright and a desirable young lady, and there was many young suitors that would love to have had her as wife, but God chose someone a bit older, and his name was Joseph. And so she and Joseph were engaged. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So Joseph really loved Mary. But how would you like to hear a story like, I'm pregnant, but it's the Holy Spirit. Never happened before. Joseph had, you know, nothing to go on. But he loved her enough, he could have actually had her brought into the public and killed because of the betrayal against her vow and commitment to be for her to be his wife. But and Joseph had the right heart about even that. But verse 20 says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God's story is the same. Joseph, this is something that's got to be done, and you're chosen. You're the one. God has called you to be the stepfather of his son. His name will be the highest. There'll be great power in Jesus. And you're the one that's going to look over him these first years of his life. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people. So verse 22 says, all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophet we've already read out of Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In other words, the angel in the dream speaks to Joseph and says, this is prophesied 750 years ago, and you're a part of it. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I'm going to tell you what, I believe with all of my heart, there's some scripture that kind of points to them being engaged when they hit Bethlehem. I believe with all my heart they were married as soon as Joseph got this revelation, because Joseph wanted to be the cover for Mary during this situation. And Joseph, being roused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. Jesus. Because he's going to save his people, and he's going to save you and I from our sins. So Joseph, I think he was fully on board, and he did everything that he was commanded and asked to do, and he took his rightful place in history, and he was able to get Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem when needed, 80 some miles. The last scripture I want to read is in Luke 2, first few verses, 7 verses. Came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. In King James it says taxed. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because a prophecy said Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David. It's no mistake. It's not fate. It's not an accident. God chose someone that would get his son's mother to Bethlehem, and Joseph would be there to look over them, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, The days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And again, this whole thing, Caesar Augustus was actually Caius Octavius. He was Julius Caesar's stepson, adopted son, and he ruled after Julius Caesar. And he reigned into a good part of Jesus' life. And he created such a presence that there was great peace in the land while Jesus lived upon this earth. Now, it didn't take long after Jesus was gone till there was a big upheaval and the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Part of that is because the Jews rejected Jesus. But Augustus Caesar was upset with Herod, who Herod the Great was the one that killed the children in Bethlehem. He was ornery. But there was a little feud between them, not a war, just a little aggravation. And Caesar Augustus said, "Okay, I'll fix it. Now you guys go get registered." And it was just the timing that was needed to get Jesus to Bethlehem to be born. And Quirinius was a warrior, a great warrior. And he was given Syria as his charge because of his faithfulness to the Romans and the way he fought battles. He was given a public burial because they thought so highly of him. But why is all of this mentioned? Because Luke had a mind for detail, and he wanted to make sure that everything was clear and that when Jesus was born, everything was as it was, and history would show that the Son of God was born in Bethlehem, just like the prophecy had promised. The Bible says that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. Some believe that she didn't have any other children, that she remained a virgin all of her life. But the scripture tells us that Jesus had half-brothers, Joseph, James, Simon, and Judas, and either two, three, or four, or however many sisters, doesn't say specifically. But all of this work so that Jesus could come to save the world. I'm going to play a song for you, I think. Thank you, Audrey. This is one, we sang a version of it when Rob was choir director, but I really, really like this.
proclaimed that his name was Jesus.
Hydrogen.
We'll end it on hydrogen. That's a commercial, but we'll just leave it there. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Something about that song just touched me when I was preparing this message. The Virgin Mary is part of the doctrine of our salvation. What makes it work is because it is the truth of God's word. And we believe that. We're so thankful for that baby boy, Jesus. I've heard people address prayers to baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is not baby anymore. He is a resurrected Son of God sitting at the right hand of God. And when he comes back, we'll be raptured. The church will be raptured. No one will see him. We'll go to meet him. We'll go to meet him. The world will not have a clue, I don't think, what's happened. But when Jesus comes back after the rapture and after the Battle of Armageddon, when he finishes off the devil at the Battle of Armageddon, nothing about a baby, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But today we know him as Savior. And so thankful that he came. That bass section has all gone to heaven, but you could not beat J.D. Sumner, Brock Spears, and I think it's Rex Nealon. Those people, many of them have gone on, but Jesus is alive, and he's able to minister to you and I today. I'm going to pray, and then I'd like us to spend some time in prayer. I understand that it's not easy to kneel for a lot of us. I've got a left knee that is, it's trying sometimes, but I want us to pray. I want us to sit in our seat, stand, walk, if you want to walk around. Brother Martindale used to lay on the pew when he prayed. He worked hard all day, and so when he came in to pray, he laid on a pew and he prayed. But I want us to pray. Seek the Lord. We have a great time before us in this Christmas season. We need to see souls born into the kingdom. That's why Jesus came. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Thankful for every truth. Thankful for every minute detail that you planned and made happen. Lord, we plan and things don't happen, but you've planned it and it happened exactly. And Jesus is our Redeemer today. I pray that every heart is at peace, knowing you as Savior and Lord. You've given it, Lord, given us such an easy opportunity just to believe that you're the Son of God, born of the Virgin, lived a perfect life, crucified on Calvary, resurrected and ascended back to God. And you hear us when we ask for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for making it so easy. We believe in every part of your life story, and we believe that you're able to take our sin and eliminate it and bring us into a relationship with you, with the Father and with the Spirit. We honor and give you glory today. Touch every heart. Touch every life. Lord, as life is a journey and we see ups and downs, I pray that you'll be with everybody. Let no one not feel your comfort today. Let no one go away without feeling your touch. Touch each of us. Mercy, O God. Mercy, O God. Rakatai. Just like you to spend some time in prayer. God bless you however you're comfortable. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank you, merciful one. Thank you, merciful one. Thank you, merciful one. Hallelujah. Shandoro kori andaladidia sikiti andaladidia ilaladidia sandaladidia kora masata ladidio kiri halalalalaya salaladidio kiri andaladidia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Before we leave today, I have a friend that posted on Facebook. His name's Dan Helgeson. He was a trim carpenter. He did finish work, baseboards, door casings, and inset doors and all that for a long time for us. And he stepped away from that and became a facilities manager at a retirement home, assisted living, and different things. He's going to have a surgery tomorrow on his back. He said, all those years working on baseboards and things, he said, and I need surgery. Pray for Dan. He's a believer, and he one of the nicest guys in the world. One of the nicest. And let's pray for Dan. Any other requests before we're through? We'll pray for Dan and then pray blessing. Lord, we ask that you'll touch Dan. Be with him, Lord. The most important thing is your presence. Lord, let him have a very successful operation. Your mercy, Lord, in the operating room and for the recovery, you'll help him to heal quickly. We honor and give you glory for tender mercies for each one of us, Lord, for every heart, every life. Lord, we want you to be in our life. We invite you to be our life and help us and strengthen us. Lord, we want to be able to feel your presence all the time. We honor and give you glory. Go with us today. Go with us as we travel to our homes, as we go different places, and as we are busy during this season, be with us everywhere. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring us back for the decorating tonight and bless all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.